Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
What's up, everybody? It's your coach. Welcome back to the Coach HP Show. If you haven't yet, please take the time, subscribe, get involved. Today's episode, like all episodes, are sponsored by Positivity. No matter what you're going through in life, the two things you can control is effort and attitude. Please subscribe to the show. Subscribe to Positivity. It will change your life. In today's episode, I have a dude that literally stole the show at the Logan Paul Mayweather fight. He was the commentary, broadcaster, interviewer, media guy, whatever it is, he was there. He was at the center of everything, and he crushed it with positive energy, with original questions, honest feedback. He did really well, so I really wanted to have this guy on the show and have him share his mindset, his story, and really try to encourage him to keep going. I see him with a great future. I want him to do more because I see so much talent in him, super young. So in today's show, episode 98, we're getting there to 100, episode 98 of the Coach HP Show, I got my man, Ryan Nelson. Let's go.
Yeah, I see you.
All right, we're in the mix. Dude, how I do this is it's a regular conversation. You're a pro already. You don't need any help with this. So what I saw, first of all, is, a guy, if I'm not mistaken, from California, and you went to school here in Miami?
Yeah, and I'm here in Broward now.
How was it? What part of California?
LA.
What part of LA?
West Covina.
Dude, I lived in Los Angeles for 6 years, bro.
Really? That's what's up.
I lived in a car for the first 6 months of it in the Hollywood Hills, because I thought that's where the studios were.
Right.
How do you like Miami or the East Coast versus California?
It's definitely, to me, it's two different worlds. I that's what I say to people. I think over there it's a lot more slower compared to here. Everybody's like on the go and stuff like that. I love the infusion of culture here. Not that there's none there, but like, man, the Caribbean culture is so unique and so cool. Like, you got Puerto Ricans, Haitians, Dominicans, Trinidadians, not sure if I said it right, Cubans. It's really cool to see that over here versus over there. But I mean, California is beautiful. Like, it's one of a kind.
Ryan, you went to UM.
Yeah.
Did you study communications or what did you study?
Journalism.
You studied journalism. So you knew you wanted to do something like this?
From the beginning?
Yeah.
At the beginning, I wasn't sure because I entered college. I think I forgot what my major was. I changed it like three times, to be honest. I remember I tried being an accountant for a day, and I'm terrible with numbers. So as soon as I got in the class and I just saw we're counting all day, I was like, this isn't for me. I thought, because I love sports, I thought maybe I should try physical therapy. And then I quickly learned that in the classes for that, you have to really know the human body and blood types and bones and. Okay, so I'm like, all right, so it's not as easy as just putting ice on people and helping the guys stretch. And then I did a lot of praying, and I was like, all right, you know, God, what do you want me to do? So I heard him say journalism, and then as soon as I was like, all right, I'll give this a try, like, you know, doors just kind of opened for myself, and I've been at it since then.
I love it, bro. Yeah. I saw you with a Dodger uniform.
Yeah.
You play baseball?
I played 1 year of baseball. I've been football my whole life, but I love the Dodgers and I love baseball.
What position did you play in football?
Football, running back.
Wow, so you got hit a lot, huh?
Yeah, I'm not too big of a guy, but I enjoyed running back. It was fun.
Who's your favorite running back growing up?
Ronnie Brown from the Miami Dolphins, for sure.
Dude, that guy, We didn't give him any love here in Miami, huh?
I know. I mean, it's hard being in Ricky Williams' shadow. So, I mean, he was a high draft pick. I remember being a fan of him, like, wow, like he might be the next Ricky Williams or the next great Dolphin, but he didn't get the love he deserved.
It's the greatest. You might know this better than me. I've had Dan Marino on this show, and okay. I think the greatest running back in the history of Miami, Larry Zonka. Is that number one?
Yeah. You can put Larry at number one. Yeah.
We haven't had good running backs, right?
We haven't had a lot of good much in a lot of positions, but hey, we just got to stay loyal.
Bro, your faith, man. You don't see too many people enter the social media world and bring the faith with them for a couple of reasons, man. When did you start having that belief?
I would say after I graduated high school. It was crazy because I was going to college. I came home from college and, it was winter break, hanging out with my friends, and I was driving home. And there was a drunk driver on the wrong side of the street, and he hit my car head on. And that was like the life-changing moment that I had. I remember my dad asked me, he's like, if you would have passed in this, because out of that, I tore my Achilles tendon. That means football was done at this point. Because I was trying to walk on, but I couldn't because of that. I broke a bone in my face, and it was just a real like reality check of who are you. And my dad, I remember him just saying, what do you feel like as if you would have accomplished if you would have just lived 18 years on this earth? So I had a friend that was inviting me to like a youth church, like a youth group type of thing. So it wasn't like your traditional Sunday service type of thing. It was a lot of other younger people my age, maybe a little younger, maybe a little older, that were all just trying to figure out who God was and who they were as individuals. And that was a really safe place for me to understand, like, okay, this is who God is, and this is how I can build my own personal relationship with Him. And so, it's a process. You don't just jump into faith and you're sanctified and talking different and looking different. It takes time. Like, old habits had to die. Maybe some friendships that weren't beneficial to my faith. I was just like, let me keep these at a distance. And that's how it started. And it's a process. I'm not perfect, so I'm just trying my best to give glory to somebody and honor to somebody that's given so much to me that I feel like I don't really deserve at times, because, hey, I'm not perfect. So that's where it started. And that's where I'm at now.
How old are you, bro?
29.
Oh, you're a baby. You're so young. Are you you a fan of TD Jakes?
Yeah, I know. Yeah. TD Jakes. Cool.
Cool guy, huh?
Yeah.
You have a favorite, what are they? Ministers? Is that what they're ministers?
Ministers, pastors. My favorite probably right now would be Mike Todd. He's a pastor out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. I watch his sermons a lot. I tie it to his church. I really do believe in what he's doing over there. He's got a really strong, young church. And his
kind of like cool looking dude. Is that like a cool looking dude kind of thing? He has a little beard and stuff with the hair.
Yeah. I like his messages because, man, they speak right to me. I feel like, he makes sense of a lot of things that are going on in the world. He makes it make sense to me.
Let's talk about when you decided. So sports is out of the question. You get injured. You come out of college, degree in journalism. Yeah. What do you do then?
That was the toughest, another tough reality check and a real faith check, because I remember in college, one of my professors, she worked at CNN, and she was always real tough on us, but she was honest. She was like, no matter how good you are at interviewing people or writing or whatever it may be, she said, the most important thing is about who you know. It's your network. And I remember just being like, man, if I'm good at this, somebody's going to pick me up, thinking it's like sports, where it's like, if you're a good player, you'll get drafted, versus the opposite of the world, where it's like, it's about who you know, because I'm sure there's people that are unqualified in corporate positions that don't deserve it, but because they know somebody, they got the position. And that's not me being salty or anything. It was just like, it was a reality check. So the first 9 months outside of school, after I graduated, I did not have a job. And it was so stressful. Like, I was really just doubting, like, man, why did I get this degree? Why is it like this? Why? Because I would be on my computer applying for journalism jobs all day from like 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. Like, I'm making that my full-time job because I'm looking for work. And I didn't network as much as I should have. I had two or three internships that were very strong. They
taught me a lot. I asked you a question, Ryan. Ryan, when you say you didn't network, found yourself now, you're like, bro, I got a real cool personality. You didn't use that enough, like to meet new people. Is that what you're saying?
No. I just didn't try to meet new people. And also because every summer I had pretty much the same internships. It wasn't like I was going to different businesses and meeting new people.
I was with
the same people, you know, over the past, you know, however long, 4 or 5 years. So I wish I would have utilized like the LinkedIn's, Instagram. Well, Instagram wasn't around, but like it was around, but I, you know, utilizing it a little bit more and just getting out there to meet people, you know, stuff like that. And I didn't do that. So I think that's what really hurt before I got my first opportunity.
When did you come up with, okay, I'm going to be an interviewer? When did you think of that?
I thought about that during those 9 months because my first job was with CBS and they let me go out into the field once as a reporter. And it was because I knew one of the guys on the University of Miami football team. So they're like, hey, you go get the story. And after that, I was like, if I can relate it back to sports, like I'm on the bench. Like, I'm like, come on, give me a shot. And, you know, we want you to keep writing. We want you to stay doing what you're doing. And then they were just very honest with me. They said, like, there's no room for growth here. So I'm like, okay, well, I guess like I have to create my own platform. I've seen people do it. So I just created it myself. And then I had another job where I worked with Superfest Miami and I worked doing their social media on top of working those jobs. And I remember meeting with a lot of people who were really good at marketing and really good at branding. And then I just took what I learned there and I'm like, you know, how can I market myself? How can I brand myself? And at the time, like, I didn't even have a logo. I didn't have any of this. Like, I was just kind of just recklessly putting out interviews without any type of, you know, marketing towards like, okay, how am I going to share this? How's it going to look? What is my target audience? Things like that. So that's where that came from.
Let me tell you what I like about you, bro. I like questions you ask are super, super. I was going to curse, but you don't look like a guy that cursed. So I'm not going to curse.
No, be yourself. Be yourself.
No. I don't want you to. Listen, I am super freaking, let's use the word freaking, freaking cool, man, because they come out very original. When did you start tapping into that, bro? When are you like, you know what? Everybody's asking these stupid questions. I'm going to come up with OG questions. Like, for example, when you told Jake, talk to me about the drip. Talk to me about that mindset.
It was because, you know, when you do a lot of press junkets or press conferences or anything like that, you kind of see a lot of redundant questions. And especially me, like when I do my homework on somebody and I watch them interview with somebody or watch like a few interviews, they get asked a lot of the same questions. So in my head, I'm like, you know, he's wearing a full Disney outfit on purpose. He probably wants to talk about it. So and I asked it, of course, it made him light up and it gets those more interesting responses back because it I understand, like, you know, a lot of people when I first started, they're like, you need to be like Bryant Gumbel and be polished and stuff like that. But we have enough of those.
Fuck that guy. I'm gonna get into my language. Fuck that guy. Dude, it's where not only is it Disney, but it's Gucci Disney. Gucci and Disney did anything anyway, you know?
Right. Exactly. So it's just like, you know what, why not ask? So that's where that came from. Let me think of the questions that people aren't asking them that aren't disrespectful, because I'm not at a level where I can, like Charlemagne, who's great at what he does, but he can ask some wild questions and it'll still be calm. I don't want to burn any bridges being, you know, very young and new in this.
My style is the same, man. I didn't go to any school or anything. I just talk out of passion and I want everybody to win. So when I talk to people, I'm not going to ask you questions unless it's something that I feel it's going to encourage you or do something a little better. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
To me, I'm not going to be like, oh, so you got kicked out of here. You know, like, I'm not going to do that, you know?
Exactly.
And I think a lot of people do that, Ryan, huh?
Yeah, they do. And then you burn the bridge. And with this industry, one thing I've learned, it's very small. especially down here in Miami. So if you burn one bridge, it's tough to get back over. It's tough to reconcile because a lot of people aren't as forgiving as you would think they would be. And that's why, you know, not that I tread lightly or anything, but I just try to respect everybody. I just try to show love to everybody and keep it at that.
So let's just do the whole fight thing. How did you get access to the fight? What was your mindset going into? Take me step by step that when you go, okay, Mayweather, Logan Paul, talk to me your whole trajectory, and we're going to end the day that you highlighted there at the end that you crushed it. But talk to me the beginning. Take me through the steps.
Just like any other sports event, you have to apply for media credentials. And a good friend of mine, his name's Fago Franklin. He's a reporter based out of Seattle. And I told him, like, I was applying for the credentials already, but he said, you know what, I can't make it. Here, just take mine, and I'll let Floyd's PR people know. So that's how I got the credentials. And I think the first day was the Versace Mansion. I could be wrong. That was their media day, their media availability, which was very rare to have it at the Versace Mansion. But when it's Floyd Mayweather, that's how it happens. And there was a ton of media there. There was the way that they did their red carpet is they went with national media first. So it was like ABC, NBC. Then they moved down to the smaller guys. And then after that, they did international interviews, like in a private room. But that was pretty cool because a lot of media days like that, they don't feed the press. But man, like Floyd had like lamb chop out there and like gourmet food for the media, which was pretty cool to see. And I believe the next day was the press conference for the undercard. So that was Ocho Cinco's fight, Badu's fight, and everybody else. And that day was pretty unique. It was a lot less calm because obviously the headliners weren't there.
Right.
And by then, a buddy of mine, his name is Shot by Retro 6. I knew he was coming to the press conference, and he's like, man, whenever you interview Logan or Jake or anybody, I'm gonna try and get a picture. So I made sure I smiled real big, and Logan, I guess he saw it or his manager saw it, and he reposted it on his Instagram and mine. From there, it went absolutely insane. So the next day when I showed up at the press conference, like both of their teams, like they approached me and they were just showing me love, and Mayweather's people and his people. So it was cool. And then I had the moment with Ocho Cinco at the press conference and that was another thing where I was like, man, should I ask this McDonald's question? I asked like my friends that were there with me. I'm like, that might be a stupid one, but you know, I'm gonna do it because I know, being a football fan, I know Ocho Cinco loves McDonald's and that's part of his diet. So I asked that, and
Sports Center. I thought it was genius. I thought it was good. I thought everything that I saw you do, I thought it was genius. Cause I even saw with the Jake thing, you waited, because I don't think you asked him anything when they were originally, after they did the square off.
Right.
Outside the ring, like Jake was around 100 microphones. You didn't ask a question there, right? Did you?
No, I waited for them to finish.
You waited to the alley. They went like to the alley, and there was a little like alley. They did a square off. And I think you were right there when he was walking from that square off in the alley, right?
Yeah. They did that. And I know, like, because, you know, ESPN was there. A ton of people were in his face. So I'm like, you know what? I'm going to let them do them. Another thing, too, like when we're out there as far as media, I definitely try my best to respect the other media. I know, like, you know, the guys at ESPN, they're on deadline. So they're like, they need to get these quotes and they need to get that. So I make sure, hey, I'm going to get out the way. And, you know, they look out for me, too. They'll be like, hey, come get this or whatever it may be. So I let them do them. I moved out of the way. I moved from the front to the back to just, you know, to show them love and let them do what they got to do.
But yeah, that is awesome, bro. That's such, such
good. It was back there. It makes it easier, too.
So good awareness. Yeah, so good awareness on your part. When you do your research, what research do you do?
First, I always check their social media because that's what you'll get the latest updates from there. As far as whatever they're more than likely, if it's somebody of that caliber, they have a PR person posting for them. So it won't be super personal, but I always check social media. And then second, I go on YouTube and I look at their prior interviews or prior just content that they may have on their YouTube channel, just to see what they've done. You know, just to maybe catch a glimpse of something that they're interested in that they may not even talk about. Like Logan, And I wasn't surprised when he came out with the Charizard chain, because if you look through his social media, he had Pokemon cards all over it as a reseller. Maybe not as far as like, I love playing Pokemon on Game Boy, but he resells the cards because they're worth a lot of money. So when I saw it, I wasn't like surprised, because I already did my homework and I looked at it. But social media, YouTube for prior stuff like that. I'll Google them just to see, you know, look at their Wikipedia page, look at some articles that have been written on them recently. And that's what I pretty much do.
Did you see what Logan did with the reselling of the cards?
Which one?
I said that every time a Paul brother wins, the internet wins.
Mm-hmm.
And every time the internet wins, the people win. Because, dude, it's like they're literally setting up success for future generations and future generations of people. Because to do what these guys are doing out of Ohio, it's just crazy, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And I actually saw a lot of YouTubers at the fight, a lot. And I was like wondering, I'm like, who are these guys? Like, because, you know, usually the football players, the rappers, they got huge entourages and they're just walking through the halls. Like, I think Michael Vick had like 10 people with him. Sway Lee had like 5 people with him and all these girls. And I'm like, okay, I know who those people are. And then there's YouTubers and they're carrying their cameras with them. And I'm like, Who is that? And then somebody be like, oh, that's such and such who has a million followers or viewers on YouTube. Like, wow, the game has changed as far as content.
And they support each other, man. That's where I notice that in the athlete world, sometimes it isn't like that.
Right.
You know, but these guys, just like the comedians, bro, I had Andrew Schultz. I had him on the show and I'm telling him, man, you guys support each other. Like, you go on each other's podcast, you talk, you let each other up on stage. And I don't notice that too much from the media world, like the interview world, whatever, because it's a lot of what you did, bro. You teamed up with the ESPN guys, they had your back, and because you weren't an idiot, they hooked you up like, look, bro, you take your time and I'll take my time.
Yeah.
Man, I think that's really important, bro.
Yeah, you know, you're exactly right. Especially here in South Florida, sometimes the spirit of competition becomes something, and then like it's just like, man, we don't have to compete. If anything, if we work together, and I share your content, you share mine, you know, leaving likes, comments, stuff like that, it all helps everybody in the end scheme of things. And that's why I personally do it. Like, I want to see everybody win. It doesn't like dull my shine, as people say, to see other people be successful. So I'm all for it.
Dude, I totally agree, man.
Yeah.
What is your goal with this?
My goal with this is to have a secured sponsor from here on out, because I've done things with brands and it'll be like a one-off deal where you just post or do a video or something like that, but a full sponsorship of the show that I'm trying to do. And then just to gain access to more people to interview and things like that, just to continue to watch it grow. This weekend was really big for myself, because during COVID, it was like, you know, a lot of stuff slowed down. A lot of people were kind of scared to get in front of a camera and things like that, which comes back to like, you know, networking and DMing people and going back to that grind, because I like to pop up on people. I'll go to an event, hey, my name is such and such, and introduce myself, because, like I said, I feel like I missed some time with that. So just watching the brand grow and hopefully gaining like a really solid sponsor that'll, hey, for, you know, for 8 episodes, you know, we'll put our name on it and support you.
Ryan, what type of show are you trying to do? That you said you're trying to do a show?
Entertainment. So it's a mixture between athletes and musical artists and YouTubers. Now at this point, you know, I'm pretty much open to any type of guest, you know.
That is awesome, man. Yeah. What's your favorite type of music?
My favorite type of music, hip hop.
So who's your number one hip hop person?
Definitely Kendrick. Kendrick is number one.
Yeah, favorite Kendrick song.
Favorite Kendrick song. Off of the To Pimp a Butterfly album, If These Walls Can Talk. That's one of my favorites. Walls Can
Talk, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
When the experience of this weekend happened, Monday, that the fight's over, that you're sitting there, right, what did you learn the most that you didn't know?
Oh, that's a good question. What did I learn the most? what did I learn the most? That I shouldn't be scared to take risks, or because, you know, a lot of the other, I don't want to say a lot of the other journalists, but a lot of other people that were probably in my position won't, you know, I don't want to go talk to Blueface or something like that. I don't need to talk to this person. I'm like, man, let's go introduce yourself, like get out of your comfort zone and make that connection and talk to people. So it almost solidified, like, man, like keep networking. And that's something that I really learned, like it doesn't hurt at all just to introduce yourself. The worst thing that they could say is, you know, leave me alone, and that's not going
to
hurt my
feelings. You're absolutely right. And then, and you have a good official look to yourself. You have your hoodie with your logo on it and stuff. When Jake Paul fought Dib last year, I went to the event. I come from the baseball world. I'm the biggest failure in the history of Miami baseball by far. And
what makes you say that? I want to hear this story.
Dude, because my dad obsessively lived his life and he hijacked my whole childhood and my whole life for baseball. And the problem was that he beat the shit out of me every single time that I did wrong. Closed fist in front of everybody, in front of my mom, and nobody did a single thing.
Dang, I've seen crazy. That
before. Yeah, man, it's crazy because the dude prepared me for everything in life except to deal with him. And it's weird because if it wasn't for that horribleness that I grew up with, I wouldn't be winning right now in life. It's kind of like that. I'm adversity tested like you have no idea. I see nothing that's impossible in this world because he created that. But at the same time, I didn't get as far as I could have gotten in the sport because I developed identity issues because I didn't have an identity. I was a clone of him.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like you're in the interview there with your earrings and you're being you. And my dad growing up, no earrings, no this, no, like I had like a crew cut. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So nothing's fun.
Right.
Part of the football, bro, we're playing football, but we're messing around in the bus. You got the tape. You got the shoes. Bro, my dad, no swag. Just no school.
Okay.
And when I got to high school, I revolted that, and it was a disaster. But
Right.
I go, you know what I'm going to do, Brian? I go, I've always wanted to get out of the baseball world. Because the baseball world is very interesting, man. That is not my passion. My passion is talking to people and figuring it out and helping. And, man, Ryan popped this weekend. I wonder what he's thinking about next. I wonder what if he does this? What if he does that? You know, like that's what I'm about. And I go to the fight I figured out as long as I have a camera on me, I'm ESPN, bro.
If I
come up to you, I go, hey, Ryan, what's up, bro? Really quick for the YouTube. And if you tell me anything that you're busy, all right, bro, I'm not going to bother you. But if you say go, bro, I'm going to hit the camera right there, and you're about to get the best interview of your life.
Yeah,
and that's it. I'm walking around, and I see, here's a funny story. I see Logan. I go, I'm going to get Logan. Never met him before, nothing.
Right.
And he was talking to a kid. And the kid who he was talking to before him, okay, is a kid, not everybody knows who he is, but nobody knew who he was back then, a kid by the name of Eric Decker, who goes by Eric now.
Okay.
Eric Decker, good-looking kid, white boy, about 6'3", ex-swimmer. He's, as I'm standing there, and I'm recording him, because I'm about to talk to Logan, he's pitching to Logan on why he should be on his team.
Oh, wow.
So he's saying, man, I snuck into the zone. I'm not even supposed to, because that's how he got the interview with Logan.
Yeah.
He put his cameraman to wear like a, they made like fake the zone shirts. He was in a suit. Like he
played out.
And I'm listening to this guy. This kid has talent. But I saw a couple things he could have done better. Like when Logan goes, okay, let me see your information, he wasn't ready with it. Like, he made Logan search for it. You know, dumb.
Yeah, little stuff.
You there?
No, you started to freeze again.
Yeah, you there?
Okay, there we go. Yeah, now
yeah, you. Little dumb things that you don't want to do as a dude. When you get your moment, you can't be there having the guy look for your information.
Yeah.
You gotta have that going out.
Have it ready. Yeah.
Long story short, so when that guy's done, I grab Logan real quick, and Logan's like, "Oh, okay, bro," and I went off.
Yeah.
And it crushed it.
That's good.
The kid who went before there. Mm-hmm. Is a kid who's now goes by Eric, right?
Yeah.
I called him and I met with him. I go, "Listen, bro, you're gonna be a monster, man. I see talent. Mm-hmm. I would do this, and that. You're gonna come on my show a month from now and we're gonna talk and you blew up, whatever." I hadn't seen his videos yet.
Yeah.
Bro, he's at 1,000,001 now.
Wow. That's crazy.
Okay? He is
wow.
He's a beast with editing. He's a beast with movies. Like, so, and he did a series where he bought Logan Paul's couch, his $40,000 couch.
Uh-huh.
You wow. gotta see him. He's a monster.
Okay, but yeah.
One of the reasons why I wanted to have you on is I see the same similarities in you.
Right.
And I see, I'm like, ooh, this guy can win. This guy can win. And I'm here to encourage that move of attack more, get right. rejected more, because you have yeah. such good intentions that the only way you're going to lose is if you take yourself out of the game.
Mm. Well, I appreciate that. That's I needed that encouragement. I really do appreciate that.
It helps. Not too many people have Logan Paul on an IG story. That's yeah. huge, bro.
Yeah.
So that's a sign right there. Now the next move has to be, in my opinion, Ryan, you go to Wimbledon, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You
right.
go to, what's his name? Timberland versus Swiss Beach. Like,
yeah.
You
yeah.
literally can go anywhere, bro.
Right. Right. That's the goal. That's what I want to do. Yeah.
I agree. I love it, bro. I love it, dude.
I agree, man.
Listen, man, I'm a big fan. I think you're going to do tremendous. I think this weekend was just a little glimpse of
right.
what you're going to be able to do in the future and what you can do with your career, brother. Any questions for me, man? Anything I can help you with?
Yeah. So, first, again, thank you. Thank you for those words. Thank you for the encouragement. And I know you said baseball isn't your passion, so you don't watch baseball anymore, like at all. It's like something you don't even touch. Because I saw.
So I have a deal. So I have a. I became the first influencer to sign with Rawlings.
Oh, that's big. Nice. Okay.
I have like my own glove. I cover now the. Covering now the All-Star game coming up now.
Ooh, that's nice. I know that's gonna be fun. That's in Denver, right?
Oh, I got that. I was in Denver, but we do the Gold Glove Awards.
Okay.
And Ryan, I convinced him. I go, "Listen, let me go cover the Gold Glove Awards because I'm bilingual. I'm Cuban, so I speak
yeah.
Spanish. A lot right. of the players are Spanish. All
yeah.
these athletes are tired of the same question, the
yeah.
same thing." So, yeah. baseball, ironically, keeps calling me back. I live off of baseball, but it's
yeah.
not like I'm a baseball fan. And I'm like the kid whisperer,
uh-huh.
where I'm very good at helping kids and parents through sports. That's
right.
why I went through the abuse that I went through, because all I do, I get about 1,000 DMs a week of
wow.
parents reaching out to me all over the country.
That's awesome.
Of how to help them
mm-hmm.
with their kids that they're struggling with.
Right. That's good. That's good.
And hey. I see so many things for you, man.
Yeah, man. That's the goal.
Dude, I love it. I'm gonna end this right here.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.